And now, back to the capital of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States has asked the Congress to declare a state of war, that a state of war exists between the United States and Japan. He has retired from the chamber of the House of Representatives, from which point he has spoken to the joint session of the Congress. The Speaker has declared the joint session dissolved. The members of the President's cabinet have retired. They were followed immediately by the members of the Supreme Court, and now the Senate. They're leaving the House chamber. The applause you hear in the background comes from the members of the House who cheer their colleagues from the other side of the Capitol building. 96 senators, presumably most of them here because, well, it would appear that they are, slowly filing out the center aisle, the north door of the House chamber, down the long corridor to the Senate chamber. The Speaker of the House conferring for a moment with his parliamentarian, Louis Dreisler. And we'll stay with the action here on the House floor for a few moments in order that we may bring you the introduction of the resolution by the Honorable John W. McCormick of Massachusetts, the Majority Leader of the House of Representatives, whom we've been told will present the resolution for the House of Representatives, recognizing the state of war does exist between the United States and the Empire of Japan, and carrying out the request of the President, as stated in his brief message today. The last few members of the Senate just now leaving the House chamber. Ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments, the House of Representatives will go back in session, but we have been asked by the Speaker of the House to discontinue broadcasting from the House floor. For a moment, we will switch you over to the Senate side. If Brunkage is standing by there, we might have just a word from him, if he's there. Mr. Brunkage, have you a word from the Senate?
The Senate Radio Gallery. This is Don Gardner speaking to you.
And now we turn the microphone over to Brockage,
our noted NBC commentator,
with a few observations on the facts of the day. Brockage.
Brockage talking from the radio gallery of the Senate. The Senate chamber is still empty. They are waiting for the Senate to come back to consider the resolution that I read to you before. You've heard the President speak, and it might be interesting to compare it with the outstanding paragraph of Woodrow Wilson's address to Congress in 1917. As you see, the resolution itself is identical except for the word British and Japanese. And here's what the President Wilson said in 1917. For democracy, for the right of those who submit to authority to have a voice in their own government, for the rights and liberties of small nations, for a universal domination of right by such a concert of free peoples that shall bring peace and safety to all nations and make the world itself at last free. To such a task we can dedicate our lives and our fortunes, everything that we are and everything that we have, with the pride of those who know that the day has come when America is privileged to spend her blood and her might for the principles that gave her birth and happiness and the peace which she has treasured. God helping her, she can do no other. And under the impact of that, the resolution was introduced. How different. As you see, the President merely presented the case as it stood, the case of a nation betrayed and attacked while it was attempting to carry on efforts to assure peace. It is unlikely that there will be much opposition to this resolution. That's certain. That's all for the moment, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Brockage, from the Senate side of the Capitol building. Now, for just a brief summary from our position here in the House of Representatives, Morgan Beatty.
The most significant point about the whole President's address is its brevity. Heretofore, in asking Congress to declare the existence of war between this nation and another, the chief executives have found it necessary to review at great length, as Bunkage has just told you in Mr. Wilson's case, all of the events that led up to the disastrous and tragic climax. In this case, the president made you a 500-word factual news summary, as he expected we would in advance. The most significant statement was, outside of the actual request for a legal definition of war, was that the whole nation will always remember the character of this onslaught against us. The American people will win through to absolute victory, no matter how long it takes. He's taking full advantage there of the fact that we were attacked, that we had no opportunity to expect this situation was going to arise. In making the simple statement at the end that he was asking Congress, in view of the attacks by the Japanese in the last 24 hours, to recognize that a state of war has existed between us and the Japanese Empire, he paved the way for the House's resolution, which will follow.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our broadcasting from the United States Capitol Building in Washington. You've heard the President of the United States address a joint session of Congress and ask that this nation declare war against Japan. This is Carlton Smith speaking. We take you now to the NBC newsroom in New York.
From the newsroom in New York, two bulletins. The first is datelined London. The free French government of General Charles de Gaulle today declared war on Japan. And from Rio de Janeiro, President Getulio Vargas and his cabinet agreed at a meeting today to give absolute solidarity to the United States. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Overture. was a beautiful Louis Blanc overture by Mendelssohn. Joseph Glicchio and the orchestra continue now playing the poem by Fiedig.
Program at this time to bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, a bulletin dateline Singapore. The Singapore command issued a communique late today acknowledging that confused fighting continues in the Kota Bharu airdrome area. Now, Kota Bharu is 300 miles north of Singapore, an immediate target of Japanese invasion. Earlier, Japanese units attempting to penetrate Malaya from the north were reported being mopped up. Singapore itself had been under air attack today, with the casualties counted at 63 dead and 133 injured. And the Berlin radio reports that Tokyo had its first blackout tonight. The broadcast was heard by the NBC listening post. Here's another bulletin just being handed me. The dateline is Hong Kong. British headquarters in Hong Kong issued the following communique tonight. The defense plan continues to develop satisfactorily. Further demolitions are being made. In a raid this afternoon, a few bombs were dropped, but the raiders scattered as soon as they were fired on, and damage and casualties were not extensive. One Japanese plane was reported shot down over Green Island off the western entrance to Hong Kong Harbor. These bulletins have come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. We return you now to Chicago.
Koski has written a very beautiful descriptive piece titled Severe. You hear it played now by Joseph Glicchio and the orchestra.
interrupt our program at this point to bring you a special bulletin. From Washington, ladies and gentlemen, the Dateline, the Senate has unanimously passed the war resolution. I'll repeat that once again. The Dateline of the bulletin is from Washington. The Senate unanimously has just passed the war resolution. We take you now to Washington.
Bulkhead's talking. We're overlooking the chamber of the Senate in Washington. The vote is now going on the joint resolution for war. Almost immediately, Senator Connally arose and asked for immediate consideration of the joint resolution. And I'm going to read it to you again. Whereas the Imperial Japanese government has committed unprovoked acts of war against the government and people of the United States of America, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the state of war between the United States and the Imperial Japanese government, which has thus been thrust upon the United States, is hereby formally declared, and the President is hereby authorized and directed to employ the entire naval and military forces of the United States and the resources of the government to carry on war against the Imperial Japanese government, and to bring the conflict to a successful termination. All of the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. That was read by the clerk. The Senate was silent, was willing and anxious to consider it immediately. But Senator Vandenberg of Michigan arose and said he had desired to comment. Senator Connally said in a very quiet voice he had hoped that we could proceed immediately without comment. But Senator Vandenberg, he said that he must rise and say something for the record. He drew out a typewritten paper and began to read, "Out of peaceful skies," and so forth. "Japan had violated our soil, killed our citizens." He read about a page, concluding with the fact that he wanted to go on record and emphasize his change of attitude comment. But Senator Vandenberg, he said that he must rise and say something for the record. He drew out a typewritten paper and began to read, "Out of peaceful skies," and so forth. "Japan had violated our soil, killed our citizens." He read about a page, concluding with the fact that he wanted to go on record and emphasize his change of attitude to show that, although, as he said, he had opposed the administration, he had, as you know, been classed as an ardent non-interventionist, he wished to dispel all doubt that we could be weakened from within. As soon as he had finished, the roll call began. It was going on now. Connally said it was so clear, the issue was so clear, that he did not seem necessary to make any remarks. And so they agreed to proceed at about 7 minutes of the hour to vote on the resolution. They're voting now, and when the vote comes in, I'll give it to you. This resolution is, as I pointed out before, I believe it absolutely identical with the one that was introduced April 2nd, 1917. Then it was Senator Martin, chairman of the Appropriations Committee, who introduced it, because then Chairman Stone of the Foreign Relations Committee opposed entrance into war. Except there is just one exception, of course, and here it is, that instead of Imperial Japanese government, it was the Imperial German government then. As I said before, it's interesting that there is still that vestige of feudalism ready to fight for democracies, an imperial government. The unanimous consent is expected. I am expecting, I can't quite hear the vote where I'm standing, but I can see that the senators are sitting quietly in their seats, waiting as the roll call proceeds. Leaning forward, some of them, a moment ago, I saw Senator La Follette, whose father was one of those who voted against the Declaration in 1917, talking earnestly with Senator Norris. Senator Norris, you know, also voted against the resolution in 1917, but he has already expressed himself as anxious to go along with the President, whatever he might do. He said that before. The Follette argued apparently and earnestly. Norris leaned back with his hand over the seat, and I saw him shaking his head. It might not have been that, of course, so it seems. They haven't come to him yet in the roll call. He's seated in exactly the same position as he was then. His elbow on the back of his chair, his hand at his head, his fingers moving up and down contemplatively, one hand stretched out on the desk. He's looking down, and I imagine that he can see that pageant
of 1917 arising before him. What a different scene, though, where there were so many opposing the Declaration, whereas it was quite a debatable subject. And as I said before, when we compare the words issued by the President, to President Wilson at the time, describing the duties of this country in an active sense, to establish principles, to right wrongs, to free the little countries, compare that with what the simple words of our President today, when he merely recounted the acts of aggression and duplicity of the Japanese government against us. And now, I'm going to send someone down there to find out what the progress of the vote is. There must be a score. I can't quite hear from here. There are some of the people are moving about now in the aisles. There are others crowding about me here, and I find it difficult to see. The galleries themselves are not filled with spectators. They weren't permitted to enter, as I said before, until the Senate returned from the joint session. Now they're coming in, and they're coming trying to come all at once. It was a solemn occasion, I can tell you, and the fact that there were no one present but the senators themselves and a few men, the men in the press gallery and one or two of us in the radio gallery at the time, gave it an almost church-like feeling as the chaplain leaned forward and prayed with attention given to him that I must say I have seldom seen in this gathering, even on serious occasions. Wait a minute, a note is being passed up to me now from one of my assistants here in the gallery. At present, I can give you no report that there was at the first roll call, no nays recorded. Of course, some people are absent. Senator Wheeler, I believe, is not here. Do you know where the Senator Wheeler was in the House? And on the first roll call, he was absent. But no nays were recorded. Some were absent. And the official count has not yet been made. We're waiting for that. There's a little movement now. Senator Connolly is on his feet, reading from a document. What's Connolly saying? Can you tell me there? Senator Norris has turned around, but his hand is still up to his chin, and his nervous fingers are moving on the side of his chair. Again, Senator Glass, who has been very anxious, as you know, that we take the active steps before this, is sitting there, his hands folded, looking forward. Now he turned towards Senator Connolly, who was moving behind him and walking down the aisle, addressing the people about him. Apparently, there is some section. But he's got another getting some. There's a movement now. Senator Barkley has risen. The vote has just been given to me, 82 to nothing. 82 in favor of the resolution which I read you, declaring that we are in a state of war with the Imperial Japanese government. Now there are people who have raised their feet, and the pilot is moving backward, talking earnestly. But Wheeler did not vote, I am told. There may be other votes were withheld. It's a strange, tense feeling that seems to be spreading over the Senate. Yes. Senator Connolly is risen now. And it's quiet to have the vote here, and I'm going to send you back now to the radio gallery of the House of Representatives.
Gentlemen, the House of Representatives is now voting on the resolution, but it will be some minutes before the vote will be available to us. Therefore, for the time being, we return you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
We're back here in the NBC newsroom in New York, ladies and gentlemen. Here are some late bulletins just come in. The first is Dateline Mexico City. President Manuel Avicio Camacho will ask Congress for a declaration of war against Japan before the day is out. A high official quarter predicted this afternoon. Congressional approval was forecast. And another bulletin from Washington, the Senate vote was 82-0 for war on Japan. I'll repeat that. The Senate vote was 82-0 for war on Japan. A unanimous vote. A bulletin from Port-au-Prince. The Republic of Haiti declared war on Japan at 11:30 a.m. today. A bulletin from Buenos Aires. Colombia has decided to cede Pacific and Caribbean bases to the United States. The newspaper Critica reported from Bogota today that the United States will get those Colombian bases for the war against Japan. And the Berlin radio reports that the emperor of Manchukuo, Kang Te, has proclaimed to his people that Manchukuo has declared war against the United States and Great Britain. Manchukuo is a Japanese puppet state. These bulletins have come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
As the orchestra continues, we hear the El Capitan march.
Interrupt our program at this time to bring you a late bulletin. The Dateline, Washington. The United States, through its Congress, declared war today on Japan. Now, the vote in the Senate was 82-0. At the present time, we do not know the vote in the House, but the full Congress has declared war today on Japan. This bulletin came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. We continue now with our program from Chicago.
And with a salute to our gallant Navy, anchors away, we bring to conclusion our program of music, which has been played for you today by Joseph Colicchio and the Homesteaders. This program reached you from our Chicago studios, and this is the National Broadcasting Company.